Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. It's great to be in church today. Hallelujah. You know, we're here on Easter Sunday. The praise team did such an awesome job. And yes, go ahead, give it up for them. I asked them to learn that song because I felt like that song is the message of Easter. Jesus changes everything. And we're going to talk about that today. That's the title of my message, Easter Changes Everything. But before we go there, I just wanted to read from Luke chapter 24. And this isn't on the screen and it's not on your handout that we gave you today. It's what I call a freebie. And here in Luke chapter 24, in verse number 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other woman with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this." And maybe you're perplexed this morning about why Easter is such a big deal to us. Why Easter is celebrated all over the world. Nothing is more celebrated than Easter Sunday on the earth. Nothing. Today, more people will gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ than any other event in history that has ever been and will ever be. It's a big deal. And maybe you're here today and you're a little perplexed. Well, that's okay. They were perplexed too. And it says, "They went, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" And then it says, "Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." Jesus told everybody what was going to happen, but they were still very surprised when it did happen. And so today I'm going to take, you know, I've done lots of Easter messages over the years. And if this is your first time in church, or maybe you've been in church for a long time, this message is for you. Because let's hear it and let's remind ourselves why it's so important. But let's find out why it's so important. I always ask, like, what's the point of that? What's the point of Easter? And we're going to find that out today because Easter is all about change. God took the worst possible situation, the death of his son, and he turned it around and used it for good and literally changed the world. Easter changed history. Every time you write down a date, the focal point is Jesus Christ. Every time you write down AD or BC, this event literally split history in two. Yes. It split history in two. It's the most important event of history. More than that, it's still changing individuals' lives today. Yes. What makes Easter powerful is that Easter is personal. It's for us on a personal level. And I'm going to read some scriptures for you today. We have them on here. Have them up on our screen for you. And I'm going to read them out of a few different translations that might be different for you. Because how many know somebody can tell you a story, and you can hear that story, and you can just be greatly perplexed. Has anybody ever met somebody like that? Like, they just go all around, they're talking, and you're just kind of looking at them like, what are they saying? And maybe that's how you feel when you've read certain translations of the Bible. You're reading it and you're just like, I don't get this. What are they saying? But then you can talk to somebody else and they can be like, let me tell you what they're saying. And boom, you get it. And that's why God uses different, you know, he has prepared for us and he's made a way for us to hear the story in different translations. Because there's some people, when they're talking to me, I'm just kind of like, I'm not there. Because I don't know, I just don't connect with them, right? I hope that's not me for you today, you know? I say you connect with me today. Yes. But then there are other people, and it's like they're speaking my language. They talk like I do, and I understand the story better. And so today, you know, usually we always use the New King James Version, but today we're going to look at the scriptures from a few other places. Everybody okay with that? Just today. And so over here in Romans chapter 5, verse number 10, and so I put them on the paper for you. We got them up here. It says, if we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of his son, you know what that means? That means God's not mad at you anymore. Amen. How many are glad about that? Yes. God's not mad at you. It says, I've been put on friendly terms by the death of Jesus.
Come on now.
It says, now just think how our lives will expand and deepen by means of his resurrection life. Amen. That's Easter. Jesus went to the cross to put us on good terms with God. He went to make the way for us. But it didn't end there. His resurrection, what that does, the Bible says, it expands and deepens my life. And so the purpose for Easter is not for religious people. If you're not a particularly religious person in here, if you don't have a religious background, or maybe you've never been to church, or it's new to you, or you don't really feel connected to God, you rarely go to church, guess what? Easter is your holiday. Easter is your holiday, and Easter is my holiday. Easter is personal. It's not about people who do it right. It's not about people that know all the answers. Jesus came for all of us. Amen. And he didn't come for religious people. The Bible says in Luke verse 5, 32, it says, this is Jesus talking. He says, I'm here inviting outsiders. I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. And maybe you feel like you don't belong in certain places. And so often when I talk to people, as soon as they find out I'm a pastor, they're kind of like, oh, okay. You know, and they start moving away a little bit. Or how they talk changes. That's my favorite. You know, they're just like, hey, what's up? What's going on? What do you do for Lee? I'm like, oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, you are. Oh. And then, of course, they immediately want to tell me about any time in their whole life they've ever been to church. They're like, oh, you know, I used to go to church when I was like 2. You know? And then they're a little weird for the rest of the conversation. You know, they're just, and so sometimes I tell people, I'm a motivational speaker. I'm kidding. I don't really tell them that. But sometimes I'm tempted. When somebody says, what do you do for a living? There's a moment in time where I'm just kind of like, how's this going to go? You know? But, you know, I tell them, but you know what? Jesus had the same problem on a much greater scale because he was Jesus. But Jesus says, I'm here inviting outsiders. And so if you feel like you don't belong here, this is exactly where you belong. This is exactly where you belong. He says, I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. An invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. Man, doesn't that sound good? He says, I'm here to invite you for a changed life, not on the outside, because that's how religious people change. They just change on the outside. But God's not interested in that. He's interested in what's going on the inside. And so Easter is God's invitation to us. And what's the invitation? To have a changed life. Have a changed life. A lot of times we think we want to be better in some situations, and if we could change something on the outside of us, it would make us different. If we worked harder, if we tried harder, if we knew the right people, that would be it. You know, a lot of people, especially in the time that we're living in right now, they think if I change how I dress, if I even change my name. How many remember when Puff Daddy changed his name? Some of you are too old for that. I mean, you're too young for that. You're like, who? You don't even know. It's the same guy. Now it's P. Diddy or whatever his name. You know, he's changing his name, but guess what? He's still the same. Changing something external doesn't change you. You can cut your hair. You can start acting different. You can do all that, but the real you is still on the inside. And that's who Jesus wants to talk to. Amen? That's who Jesus wants to see. And so I got to work on the inside, let God come in. And that's what Easter is all about. It's about change on the inside of me. God says, here's the first step. If you really want to change your life, if you really want to change your life, the first thing you got to do is you got to open up to God's power. You got to open up to it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, let God. Say that with me. Let God. You know what that means? I cannot let God. But I got to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You don't change by trying harder. You know, they say the average New Year's resolution lasts 2 weeks. 2 weeks. You don't change by doing stuff on the outside. You don't change by just saying it. You've got to open your mind to the possibility that God's power is available to you. You got to open up your life to that. The possibility that God exists. The possibility that God loves you. Open your life up to the possibility that He knows everything about you but still loves you. Amen. We've got to open ourselves up to that. He knows the problems you're going through and He wants to help you. And you know, the thing about it is that a lot of people think that they're open to the things of God, but really they're not. They're not open. And you've got to ask yourself today, am I open to the things of God? Doesn't mean I have to understand it. You know what? I'm very open to electricity. I'm very open to it. And so are you. How many like air conditioning? How many of us you use the blow dryer on your hair? Listen, you do not want to see this hair all natural, right? No help from electricity. That you do not want to see that. I'm very open to electricity, but here's the thing. I have no idea how it works. Scott used to be an electrician. I guess he's still an electrician. But I have no idea. This is what I know. This is what I know. You pay the bill. You flip the switch. I don't stand at the light switch and say, I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I don't know where it comes from. I just have so many questions, so I'm just not going to use you today. I'm just, no. Not until I have full understanding. You're going to be there a while. But I'm very open to it. I'm like, I'm not really sure how you work, but lights on, baby. Right? And you know, the thing is, we've got to be that way with God. Where we're open, you don't have to understand everything. We will never understand everything. I don't want a God that my brain can understand because He'd have to be pretty small. I want to know a God who's bigger than me. And so you have to be open to say, you know what, I'm not really all the way there yet, but I'm open. I'm open. Amen? I'm open to this. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:18, this is the Living Bible. It says, many are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds against Him. So they can't understand His ways. They've shut their mind. And you know what? Here's what that looks like. Somebody can sit and tell you, man, my marriage is in trouble. You know, my kids are in trouble. My career's in trouble. No matter how much I receive and what I got going on, you know, I got a good job. I got a good family. People love me. But I'm still dealing with depression. I'm still dealing with anxiety. And they're talking about all their problems. And as soon as somebody like you or somebody like me says, hey, you know, you want to pray about it? What about God? They're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, they look at you like you're a religious freak. What happened? Their mind is close to it. Their mind is close to it. And so the Bible says many are far away from the life of God. And that's a good life. That's a life with help. That's a life with power. That's a life with love. That's a life with mercy. I say this all the time. The mercy of God gives me what I need and never what I deserve. Oh, thank God for that. We got to change how we think. The Bible says, let God transform you. Let God transform you. I don't have to do the transforming. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Oh, isn't that good? What causes us to close up our mind, though? You know, maybe you're here today and you got drug here. And you're just like, you're just like, man, as soon as anybody starts talking about God or starts talking about the things of God, you're just like, it's like my mom. My mom used to smoke. She smoked for years. And she ended up passing away because of it. And whenever any of us would talk about, you know, like, hey, mom, you know, in love, it was, we would joke and say it was like an invisible wall went. And she was still looking at you, but she was not hearing you anymore. And you know what? Some people are like that with God. You know, but what causes that? You know, one of the things that can cause you to shut your mind off to the things of God is hurt. You've been hurt. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Maybe you've been hurt by a Christian. You know, it's really silly to totally knock out God because one Christian did you wrong. Listen, one Christian does not represent God.
Amen. Talk about it.
You know, there are things that people are imperfect and they do dumb stuff. How many have met one? Right? How many met one? You know, hurt can cause you to close your mind to God. Another thing that can cause you to close your mind to God is pride. You're like, I got this. I don't want to be open to God. I want to be God. I don't want to be open to God. I want to be God. And that's pride. I want to run my own life. I want to do my own thing. Another thing that can make you close your mind to God is fear. You're afraid if you open your mind to God, if you open your life up to God, if you open up to the possibility of His power, of His love, of His mercy, of His grace, if you open up to Him, you're afraid that it's going to make you some type of a weirdo freak. You're afraid of that. You've met somebody and you're like, I don't want to be like them. Or you think God's going to take all the control from your life and you're not going to have any choices anymore. No, God will never violate your will. We can't let fear decide where we're going to go or what we're going to do. And so when we think about that, you know, we got to ask ourselves, fill in this blank for me. I don't think I'll ever be able to blank. Maybe you're here today and you say, I don't think I'll ever be able to get married. Or I don't think I'll ever be able to get remarried. I don't think I'll ever be able to forgive that person that hurt me. I don't think I'll ever be able to get over that hurt. I don't think I'll ever be able to have a fresh start. I don't think I'll ever be able to fulfill the dream that's on the inside of me. I don't think I'll ever be able to live without fear, without anxiety or depression. I don't think I'll ever be able to whatever your blank is. But here's the thing. When you have that mindset, you've got to remember that you're thinking of it from your point of view, instead of looking at it from God's point of view. Because when I look at things from a human perspective, there is so much that's impossible. I'm so limited, and so are you. But when I look at things through God's view, it changes everything. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 7, verses 19 and 20, it says, this is Paul, and he's praying, the Apostle Paul, he says, I pray that you'll begin to understand how incredibly great His power is to, what's that next word? Help. How incredibly great His power is to help those who believe Him. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Oh, thank God. Maybe you came in here today and you have this mindset and you think God said this, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. God didn't say that. Ben Franklin said that. True story. God's up in heaven like, I didn't say that. No, God helps you. His help is for you. He's not looking for you to do it on your own. He wants to help you. And so the first thing I got to do to make Easter personal is I got to open up to the possibility of God. I don't have to know all the books of the Bible. There's no pop quiz at the end of this service. It's not like that. I don't have to, you know, I grew up in a church where you weren't allowed to wear pants. Thank God I don't go there anymore. Amen? You know? But it was about a rule that was on the outside. A rule that was on the outside. You know, whether I wore pants or not never really affected my inside. God's not about religion. God's about relationship. And the first thing we got to do is say, you know what? I don't have all the answers. And I don't have it all figured out. But I'm going to be open to God. I'm going to be open to the power of God in my life. I'm going to be open to the love of God. And the next thing you got to do, you know, I like to give steps because I'm always like, well, how do you do that? Right? Number one, let's be open. Number two, open your heart up to God's grace. God's grace. You know, grace is such a big word. And so many definitions could be used for the word. But my favorite is this. Listen, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you see what I did there? It spells grace. For those of you guys who are a little sleepy. God's, somebody like, oh, God's riches at Christ's expense. And I got to open my heart up to God's grace. God's grace. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:8, it says, God has showered upon us. Does that sound stingy? No. He has showered upon us the richness of his grace. For he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. God's grace. And you say, well, what got showered on me? God's riches. His mercy to give me what I need and not what I deserve. His love to just love me no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. Amen? His power to help me in my time of need. All of the goodness and the greatness of God is showered on me. The Bible says it abounds towards me. Isn't that good? You know, we're very blessed, and you know, in our budget, I always say, no matter what we have to do without, if we have to, there's one thing I don't want to do without. I'll not eat out, I'll not do that, but this is my budget. This is, you know, I'll drive an older car because this is what I want. Somebody to clean my house. Don't judge me. I see you. I mean, it's important to me. You know, I get like one day off a week. I don't want to spend it cleaning. I want to spend doing other stuff. But you know, when we first got somebody to come and clean our house, we would get up early and we would clean the house. Right? Like we pick stuff up and we're putting stuff away and, you know, trying to make it so you know, and you think, well, why are you doing that? Because I don't want anybody to know I was really that messy. You know? And then it's like, why are we cleaning the house when we're paying to clean the house? Why are we doing this? And now my cleaning lady, she knows exactly how messy. I mean, we had four dogs. There's a lot of dog hair, a lot of dog slobber, you know? And so I would vacuum, and Scott would be like, isn't the cleaning lady coming? Yeah, that's why I'm vacuuming, you know? That's why I'm vacuuming. She's going to be here. Help me. Help me clean. The cleaning lady's coming. But you know, here's the thing. That's so silly, right? That's so silly. But you know, that's exactly what we do with God. We want to get ourselves all cleaned up. And we want to take care of the mess. We want to take care of the thoughts that nobody knows about. We want to clean ourselves up. We're like, man, as soon as I get this house clean, I'm going to get God. No, Jesus paid for that cleaning. Yeah. Jesus paid for that clean. You don't have to clean first. Just like it's silly that I clean my house. I don't do that anymore. I got a new cleaning lady, and I was like, I don't care what she knows. I don't care what she don't go to my church. I don't care what she knows. I'm kidding. Because here's the thing. In Romans 3:22, it says this. God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty. If we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins, and we all can be saved in the same way by coming to Christ, listen, no matter who we are or what we have been like, it doesn't matter how messy your house is, Jesus does the cleaning. Amen. Because we can't do it. You know, I call this the Etch-a-Sketch verse of the Bible. How many remember one of those? You had your Etch-a-Sketch, and you do all your thing, and you get some crazy thing on there, and what would you do? You'd be like, shake, shake, shake. And it's gone. And you know what? That's exactly how this is. When you mess up, you got to let God just shake it off you. You can't clean it. You got to let God do it. God is generous with his love. And the world has an idea that God is stingy and God holds back and God has a finger waving at you and pointing out all your faults. That is not the God of the Bible. That is not what Easter is all about. That's not it. The Bible tells me in James 4:6, it says, saving is all his idea. And listen to the next part. And all his work. Saving is all his idea and all his work. Let him do the cleaning. Let him take care of the mess. Let him do it. It says, all we do, say all I do. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. From start to finish, it's God's gift. Saving is all his idea. It wasn't yours, it's his. And he does all the work. Aren't you glad? You don't have to clean up that mess. Just let God in. Just like the song we sang, open the door. I love James 4:6. It says, God gives grace to the humble. So let God work his will in you. Say a quiet yes to God, and he will be there in no time. And so when I think about Easter and the change that God wants to bring, my prayer is that no matter where you've come from today, that you'll be open to the possibility of God's power in your life. That you'll be open and you'll open your heart up to his grace, all his riches. You'll open yourself up and let him do the cleaning. And lastly, you'll open your life up to God's love. God's love. No one will ever love you more than God does. He loves you unconditionally. It's not based on anything you do. He loves you because he made you. He created you to love you. He created you to know and love him back. That's what we're made for. Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that God will live in you as you open the door and invite him in, and that you will be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, deep, and high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourself. That's my prayer. We've been praying for you for weeks. You say, well, you don't even know me. I may not know you, but God knew you would be here today. Amen. And we've been praying for you. And our prayer has been that you would experience God's love. Maybe you've heard it all before, but your heart's been a little closed. Maybe you've been in services like this before, but you've never opened the door. I pray that today, the door of your heart will open and that you will understand that there is nothing too dirty that God won't make clean. And we have a special presentation for you to help you experience this truth.
I see shadows. There's nothing to too dirty that you can make worthy. You washed me in mercy. I am clean, oh yeah. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You washed me.
One last scripture before we go. What a beautiful vision and visual of what God does. Romans 5, 1 and 2 out of the Message says, we throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. You're not waiting on God. You don't have to clean up. He does the cleaning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:23, Jesus has his arms wide open for you. And if you'd stand with me as we pray and as we get ready to dismiss, There's a prayer on the bottom of your card. And if you're here today and you say, you know, I need a fresh start with God. I need to open my heart up to the salvation, the love, the mercy, and all that God has for me. We can all say this prayer with you. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, you say, that's me. I want to make Easter personal. Because I know when it's personal, that's where the power is. So just right where you are, you say, I want to do that. I want to receive the change that Easter brings. I would just ask you with every head bowed and every eye closed for a minute, if that's you, just raise your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else say, that's me. I see your hand. So why do I need to raise my hand? Because when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. There's action to it. And when you walk out of this room and somebody tries to say, nothing happened, you can say, oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did. I opened up my life. I opened up my heart. I opened up myself to the power and the love of God. And so those of you who raised your hand, and maybe you're here and you say, I should have raised my hand. That's okay. Let's all say this prayer together. It's written on your card. It says, Dear God, I'd like a fresh start on life. I don't want to stay the same. There are things in my life that need changing. So as much as I know how, I want to open up my life to your power, my heart to your grace, my life to your love. Thank you for loving me, for forgiving me, for sending your son Jesus to die for my sin. Help me understand that more. Jesus, I want to open up my life to you and get to know you. I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.